It is so good to have everyone today at the Wayne County Bible Center on this June 26, 2022, and all that are listening on our website. God's blessings to you this day. We're continuing our study from last week, what is truth? Pilate asked the question, it is the question of all humanity. And we're going to begin in John chapter 18, verse 37. And 38, and hopefully I'm going to be able to simplify your life the way my life has been simplified by the truth. And we're going to look at what is truth today. So, in John chapter 18, Jesus before Pilate, before his crucifixion, in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." The truth. There's no such thing as my truth or your truth or Haley's truth. There's only one, the truth. And it's God's truth. Simplifies life. Simplifies life. "And everyone that is of the truth, of the truth, hears my voice." You're going to see that we're either of the truth or we're of error or delusion. And then in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Then he made two statements in the following verses. One, he said, "I find no fault in this man." That was a confession of truth. And then secondly, he brings him out and says, "Behold the man." And that answers it. Here is truth personified in the life of Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, I feel so unworthy and yet so blessed. Father, I am blessed in that I just get to read these scriptures out loud. And they really need not my interference in any kind of interpretation, but we do need the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts and minds as these scriptures are read. So, Father, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly filth that I confess unto you, and I pray for the day of victory over many of these things by the power of your Spirit to mold and change the desires of my fallen human nature and thoughts and motives. Father, I'm going to keep striving for the high calling and the mark, the prize of what you have for me in Christ Jesus. And Father, I just pray right now to be able to wash the feet of the people as a servant, those that listen to these messages. For Father, you are the author, the creator, and the source of all truth. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, lead us now. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I taught a message last week on truth, and in verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" So we want to break it down today, and let me give you the Greek for truth. Aletheia is the Greek for truth. Aletheia, A-L-E-T-H-I-A. And aletheia actually means truth, but I don't want to give you a circular definition of truth. But in the definition, Zadaiti says truth is reality, absolute certainty, and fact. And I want to praise God today that there are things we can count on that are reality, they are absolute certainty, and they are fact. They are bedrock. And as you look at the biblical definition of truth, which is the only definition, Zadaiti says truth is the pure, unadulterated reality whose source and creator is God. If we're going to write a book and say it's a true book, I want you to understand, God's already written a book and it's a true book. God has already created creation and it's a true creation. God has sent His Son and His Son is true. So God has a monopoly on the truth. It's a monopoly. And I'll show you in a few minutes again why there is no such thing as my truth or your truth. If you've watched any of the news this week, repeat it. Oh, this is my truth. This is who I am. Well, I want you to understand something. You know who I am? I am who God says I am. And once you submit to this hierarchy of order that we'll establish in today's message, your life takes on an order. And it's not confusion and disorder. God's word is truth. God is the creator and source of truth. Go with me to Psalm 117. I showed you that last week. I'm going to show you again. Psalm 117. And in Psalm 117, verse 1, the scripture says this: "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us." Isn't that wonderful? I praise God that His merciful kindness is toward Leo Doyle. He, no matter how much I mess up, He does not give up on me. And that's a wonderful God. And I praise His glorious name. And He goes on to say this: "And the truth of the Lord endures forever." God's truth is not fluid. It is unchangeable. It is bedrock. It is established. Go with me to Psalm 100. Just back up a few chapters in the book of the Psalms. And in Psalm 100 verse 5, the scripture says this: "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." To all generations. America and the world, we've lost probably the last two generations. We've lost the generation that's coming up now. We lost respect, reverence for authority, for parents. The inmates are now running the asylum. You know, the children lead the parents now. I grew up in an age where I knew my place as a child, and I praise God because it taught me to respect the authority of my Heavenly Father. You know, now we live in an age where parents just jerk children. Children jerk parents everywhere. They live to please. We want the children to have a better time than we did. And we're creating a worse time for them because we're not operating under the wisdom of God. So we've lost generation after generation. Now we're in an age of everything being flat and horizontal. And we'll develop that in a few moments. But I praise God that His truth that was right for my grandfather's generation is the same truth that is right for your grandchild's generation. But even the Christians have allowed the culture and the society to mold and compromise and remake them. But the first component of God's truth that I want to emphasize today is the revealed Word of God. I hold it in my hand. It is called the Bible. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is my worldview. I could have titled this Leo Doyle's Worldview. This is how I look at the world. This is what I believe. Total. Absolutely. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 says this: "For all flesh is as grass, And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. I want you to understand, my earthly life is finite. My earthly life is finite. And I'm going to tell an infinite God he's wrong and I'm right? When you compare my life to God, I'm like a yellow little daisy that's going to grow up this morning. The heat is going to scorch me at midday. And when you walk out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm gone. And yet, I know better than God. And notice what he says. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And it endures forever. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Patty listened to me last night, so I'm working on forever. She wakes me up. She goes, you know, at times you sound like Billy Graham. I said, well, I don't mean to. I said, what do you mean? She goes, when you say forever. Forever. I said, I didn't realize I was saying forever. I said, how do you say it? She says, say forever. I said, okay, I'm going to say forever. And then a few minutes later.
No.
Well, a few minutes later, I said, well, Patty, what if God's calling me to be the next Billy Graham? She goes, well, I'm going to get a divorce. I said, you know, we could go to, we'd meet with presidents and we could affect this nation. And I said, they would see you and folks would look at your wardrobe and all those things. And she said, yeah, when they ask me what I'm wearing, I'm going to tell them TJ Maxx. Ross. So forever, the word of God is established forever. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at what the scripture says in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe this with all my heart. Now there are people that are listening to me, and especially on the website, and they will say, I am not convinced, Brother Leo. I believe men wrote the Word of God, not under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that it is not the inerrant Word of God. Well, I would say unto you, give it a chance. Just give it a chance. Get in the Word of God. Read it. Read the Psalms. Read the Gospels. Read some of the epistles. And ask God, say, God, if you are real, if the Word of God is real, I pray for a movement and conviction of the Holy Spirit upon my heart and mind as I am reading this. And if someone will, with an open, honest heart, seek the truth, they'll find it. I am convinced and persuaded that there is so much power in the truth of the Word of God. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture says this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe the Word of God is God-inspired. I submit, understand this, I submit to the authority of the Word of God claimed by the Word of God. This book has been around 5,000 years, these writings began ago. The books of Moses, the book of Job, they've been around like I'm the grass. I am not going to question the authority or the inspiration of the Word of God. And I'll show you why in a little while. The Holy Spirit's in me, which works hand in hand with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. But look at what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, to understand truth, for reproof when I need to be reproved and corrected, for instruction in how to live righteously and be blessed by God, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In verse 13 it says, in the end times evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so the spirit of deception that attacks the truth of the Word of God. But Paul says, continue in the things which you have learned and have been taught as a child from the Holy Scriptures. So we're to continue in the Word. And we're to hold on to the Word. So the ways of God, the precepts of the Bible, the moral teachings, the moral absolutes, the prophecies, they are intrinsically right and good and pure, and they are true. And this is the underpinning and foundation of my life. And it establishes a hierarchy or an order in my life, a set of parameters in which I attempt to live with the aid of the Holy Spirit indwelling me, but it gives me an anchor to my life. What does the Word of God say? How am I to approach this? What does the Word of God say? What happened to David? What happened to Peter? How did Daniel handle this? Why did Jonah end up in the belly of a whale? It gives me certainty and it gives me an assurity. But there is a second component that I want to look at that reveals truth unto man. Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the eternal life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the truth. I want you to understand, the manifested life of Jesus Christ on the face of this earth is truth personified. He lived out truth. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Knowing that none of them could do that. But he lived it out. So for me to come up to this standard that I cannot come up to, what do? I reject my life and I take upon me the life of Jesus Christ. His life is the righteousness of God that saves me. His sacrifice on the cross, his perfect life. But his teachings, his words, his actions, his righteous anger, his forgiveness, his compassion, his judgment, all of these things, his sermons, the answers to the Pharisees, they were all perfect truth. Go back with me to John 8 where we were last week. And in John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto the Pharisees, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. These people thought they represented God. They didn't even know the Son of God. They thought he had a demon. That's how far religion can get out of whack and off course. And we see it in America with many religions that propagate false doctrine. Because they're out of the Word or they misinterpret the Word. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. What was the first temptation in the Garden of Eden? The devil challenged the truth of God to Eve. Did God really say? Do you really believe that? He is a liar from the beginning. You need to be able to discern the lies from the truth. I don't know how many of you have heard this week, but the Supreme Court decision concerning Roe versus Wade has banned abortion in America. That's a lie. That's a bald-faced, total lie. That's all you hear. I watch CBS. The anchor said it banned abortion. NBC, MSNBC, CNN. It is banned abortion in America. It's a lie. They're holding up signs in Nashville. You have banned abortion. No, it didn't. It declared that the Constitution did not give the federal government the right to ban abortion, and it is now returned to the states for the states through their elected officials to make their own decision. Well, why the hullabaloo, Brother Leo? The hullabaloo is because 80% of Americans are against abortion for convenience. But they don't tell you that. This fringe movement that is hell-bent on killing babies in the womb, the spirit of Antichrist, want you to think it's 50-50. It is not 50-50. I have faith in America. I have faith in the citizens of America. And I have seen the polls that no network is going to show you. You say, well, Brother Leo, what do you feel about abortion? I feel Psalm 139. I submit to the Word of God. Psalm 139, God says, I knew you in the womb before your arms and your legs were formed. I knew what they were going to look like. And I knew you, and the phrase is, when you were seriously wrought in the inner parts of the world, which means the inner part of the womb, when you came together as that first one-celled embryo. And so it makes it very, it's not above my pay scale, former president. I'll tell you what it means. It means life begins at conception. Why? Because God says it does. God told Jeremiah, I knew you in the womb. You're old, Jeremiah. Just because he was a prophet or I'm a preacher or whatever, that makes no difference. God knew us all in the womb. So that settles it. That settles it. And I would just like to say to these companies, Amazon, Dick's Sporting Goods, on and on and on, I'm drawing a blank, that are so woke that they're going to give their employees money to go to another state to have an abortion. And I wonder why that is. You want an employee that doesn't have to be out on paternity leave, and you don't want her have to call in because she's got a sick kid. I mean, they're just so good to these people, right? We want you married to the company, you know, Marxism. But we're going to be so woke. You know, and they'll never do it because they're the devil. I wish they'd take that money, help that pregnant woman see the pregnancy through, and start a private foundation that will help these children get adopted into good homes. Do you ever notice everybody that's marching for abortion, none of them ever got aborted? They're all alive. Woman's right. Let me tell you something. I have no rights but what God gives me. I submit to the rights of God. Now, look at what he says. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar. Verse 44, there is no truth in him, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? I want you to understand, God created us all with free will, and you have a choice not to believe God. You have a choice not to believe the truth. And even though Leo Doyle says all these things that he is saying, I'm just speaking the truth based on God, but you have a right to reject everything I'm saying. I feel bad for you. My heart breaks for you. You'll never be fulfilled in why you were created or why you were born into this world. But if you go back to John 18, I want to grab that one phrase. There's only one truth. And in John 18, verse 37, Jesus says this, "For this cause came I into the world." He came into the world to die for our sins, "that I should bear witness unto the truth." What is truth? Pilate answered it, "Jesus Christ is truth." So you've got the revealed word of God, which is true. You've got the person in the life of Jesus Christ, his teachings, his actions, which are truth. And then thirdly, you've got another component of truth. Go with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you and indwell you forever." Verse 17, "He is the Spirit of truth. The world does not receive him, because it sees him not, neither knows him, rejects him, but you know him, you know me, Jesus, for he dwells with you, and by my Spirit I shall be in you." So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the indwelling of the Spirit of truth. And if you come down to verse 26, it says this, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." He shall teach you all things. Well, what will he teach you? Go to John 16. John 16. And in John 16, verse 13, the scripture says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit. You're living in an age where you need to be able to discern what is a lie and what is the truth. You need to be able to discern what is good and what is evil. And so you must have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9. If you have not the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. You ever tried to discuss doctrine with somebody that was lost? You know, end times doctrine. The gifts, tribulation. You might as well be speaking Spanish. They might as well be understanding French. They have not the same component inwardly, intrinsically, that is teaching them and opening up the scriptures to them. You need to spend the first 30 minutes allowing the individual to explain to you how the indwelling of the Holy Spirit helps him interpret or her interpret these scriptures or changes their life. We're dealing with many people, even in religion, who do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They're church members. They've been baptized by water, christened at birth. They have their name on a membership roll. God help all of them. You need to be able to tell someone what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You've got to have a born again experience with me by the Spirit. Well, the Spirit's going to come upon you, convict you, then enter you, and you're going to be filled with peace. And the first thing the Spirit's going to cry out, Romans 8, 10, 11, 12, "Abba, Father, I am now a child of God." And you know that with certainty. I speak to religious people all over. Some are good friends, some are relatives. You know what they say to me? I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Brother Leo. I know, convinced by the Word of God. The Word of God is right. It's not a matter of me being right. It's a matter of submitting to the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God will guide you into all, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. So we've got the revealed Word of God, we've got the life of Jesus Christ, and we've got the Holy Spirit working and manifesting Himself in us, guiding us, teaching us, and counseling us. So that is why we have the responsibility to not only know the truth, but to bear witness of the truth. And to stand for the truth. Not that I'm trying to offend anyone. I can speak the truth in love. I'm not against any individual. I love everybody. I want everybody to have what God wants them to have in life. And not the lies of the devil. There's no doubt in my mind. As I told you, I've been with two AIDS patients before they died. With them when they died. Loved them. Loved them. We'll see them in heaven. In 38 years, I've probably counseled maybe three women, maybe four who have had abortions. Their husbands don't know it. Their children don't know it, but I know it. So I want you to understand, I've seen the devastation of the deception of the devil firsthand. And I have loved every individual that God has brought my way. That has fallen into these traps and tried to help them get their lives where God wants them as a servant. So I want you to understand that, but go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, the scripture says this. You have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. This anointing of the Spirit. You have the capability of knowing all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know the truth, and there is no lie in the truth. There is no lie in the truth. Verse 27. The anointing which you have received of Him abides in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth. You ought to be able to listen to me. And if I say something that's not true, the Holy Spirit needs to let you know. And everything I teach, you need to question for your own self. You need to seek out for your own self. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. And is truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. And he that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, there are two spirits that are working. And I want you to understand, when you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you need to keep up your daily walk with Christ, your quiet time with the Lord. You want the Holy Spirit sensitized within you and your discernment level raised up and sensitive. So you can recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we're living in an age where it's very frightening. So the Word of God, the revealed truth of God, tells us who God is, what God's like. But even more important, it tells me the truth not only about God, but about myself. Go back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, look at what it says. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says this: if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we're not telling the truth. The Word of God reveals to me. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. But verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is not whatever you want to make it. Let me say that again. Truth is not whatever you want to make it. It's Isaiah 59. Sin is no longer sin. Good is no longer good. Evil is no longer evil. It's whatever I want to make it. You don't have that capability. Remember last week I read to you Romans 3:4, let God be truth and every man a liar. Let God be truth and every man a liar. Go with me to Jeremiah 17. Let me show you again why you are not capable. You are not capable of creating truth. The truth. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says this: Leo Doyle's heart is deceitful above all things because he has fallen human nature and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, need to search his heart and try his motivations. Does that not sound like Psalm 139? Go to Psalm 139. I need God revealing to me what is not truth in my life. I'm sure not going to create my own truth. Oh, this is my truth. My friend, that's a false statement. There's no such thing as my truth. There's no such thing as Tim's truth. There's only God's truth. This country used to believe this. This was taught in our schools. I studied this week three court cases in the Warren Court from 1963 to 1965. I've made copies of them. I'll share them with you eventually. One took prayer out of the school. One took the Bible devotion out of the school. And one even ruled in favor coming against a kid that was saying the blessing at the lunch table in the cafeteria out loud. And you know what I gleaned from those? Reading the dissenting opinions. I got a ton of ammunition reading. But they were overruled. The liberal Warren Court struck those things down. And it only took, what, 30 years until we had Columbine? There's a vacuum. You take God out of the school and leave a vacuum. The Bible says you take one demon out and don't put God in, seven more demons come. Nature can't exist within a vacuum. Something's got to fill it. These little babies were raised. They're sponges. Why do you care so much? I care about these little babies. I care about these children. I want young people to have an America I had, my granddaddy had, my daddy had. It's gone right now. Psalm 139, search me, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. God knows my heart. I don't know my heart. Try me and reveal to me my thoughts. And then see if there be any wicked way in me. Show me, correct it, and lead me in the way everlasting. I just want to ask you something. 20 years ago, was there something in your life that you felt pretty comfortable with that you don't feel comfortable with now? Were there certain feelings in your life, thoughts in your life, activities in your life that 20 years ago you weren't really convicted about, but you're convicted about them now? See how deceitful, see how fluid our truth is? And we're living in an age where anything goes now. If it feels good, it's okay. It's whatever I want to make truth. Let me show you the error. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. When you remove God's truth, you end up with this. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says this, and put your name there. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Think about your last big decision. You know why you made the decision or choice you made? Because you thought it was the right thing to do? I've never met anybody that was faced with a dilemma and said, you know, this would be the right thing to do. And, you know, using your carnal, your natural reasoning, this would be the right thing to do. This would be the wrong thing. I'll go ahead and do the wrong thing. Most decisions we make in our life is because we think it was the right decision. You may have had a conversation with somebody last night, and you may have given them advice or told them something or said something because you thought it was the right thing to say. Well, I want you to understand, that's how we are. But God ponders and searches the heart. Look at what it says. That's why you need to take all these things before the Lord before you do it. Because He knows perfectly what the right thing is. We are not capable of creating our own truth. Next week, we're going to look at a message, good Lord willing, based on Romans 1:25. You don't have to turn there. But the title right now is What Happens When a Culture or a Society or a Nation Turns the Truth of God into a Lie. That's a direct quote. They turn the truth of God into a lie. What happens to a society or a culture or a nation when they turn the truth of God into a lie? And why would they want to do that? Well, let me share you the principles that we should live by quickly when we accept and submit to the truth of God through His revealed word, through the life of Jesus, and through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Every child needs to be taught this. Every person needs to be taught this. This needs to be part of our curriculum. And it's the words of Jesus. And they're great words. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, these are words to live by, and I'll tell you why. It says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." Now, when you are seeking first in your life the kingdom of God, I want you to understand, kingdom involves a realm. A realm involves a king. A king is an authority. And so what it means is, the first thing you need to seek in your life is the authority of God. The authority of God's word. The authority of God's will for your life. And then all things that you need will be brought into your life. Is that not a great way to live? That's my worldview. I want to submit to the will of God. It's not what I want. It's what God wants for me because I know it's better than what I want. Because God is good. So it changes my life. Now, what does that mean when I am seeking first the kingdom of God? It implies hierarchy. Write that down if you're taking notes. It implies hierarchy. There is a hierarchy in creation. There is an order. God is the creator. God is above all. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to man. The Lord God on high reigns over all. So when there's this hierarchy of God for an individual, for a nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You've got this hierarchy, and you've got this order, and it brings order into your life. Now, what do the anarchists want? What do the Marxists want? What do the socialists want? What does the Antichrist spirit want? The Antichrist spirit wants no more nations. Why? Because there's got to be a one world government. There's got to be a beast. There's got to be a false prophet. And there's got to be an Antichrist. So what has to happen? All the nations have to crumble. Why do we have to have open borders? Because we have to have open borders because the spirit of Antichrist has come up with that policy. Why does the economy have to fall? Because the spirit of Antichrist has to crumble us down. So you take away the hierarchy of God being on the throne in your consciousness, and the creation, man becomes his own God. That's Romans 1. You'll see that. This is my truth. Oh, this is not a sin. You know, I just want to say one thing. You know what this country needs? Modesty and civility. I'm going to say right now, I'm a heterosexual male. As a matter of fact, I am a college-educated white heterosexual male. According to Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, I need to be killed just because of that. Fundamental. Believer in the Bible. We got to get rid of those people. What did that one woman say? Oh, she said it, that we need to be put in concentration camps and deprogrammed or reprogrammed. So U.S. Congresswoman. But getting back to the heterosexual part. Next Saturday, Patty is not going to put on a bikini. I am not going to put on a Speedo. And we're going to march down Broadway in Nashville. And every 30 yards, we're going to stop. And I'm going to kiss her as hard as I can in front of a bunch of innocent children and other people that have gathered on the side of the road. The problem with the movement is there's no modesty and there's no respect for others. I don't think I should flaunt my sexuality in front of anybody else and say, you've got to accept the way I act, the way I... No, I don't. And there needs to be modesty, civility, humility, and respect for others in this country, no matter what you believe or what you do. That's where everything is going off the rails. And nobody wants to say anything. I mean, it's the emperor has on no clothes. It's that parable. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. This is inclusive. This is... No. Whether or not I even think it's a sin. I don't want to see David and Brenda making out in the corner of the church. There is no modesty in this country anymore. We're objectionalizing children as sex objects. We're exposing children, 4 and 5 year olds, on that parade route yesterday in Nashville, waving little flags. They don't even know what they're doing. Their parents are being paid by Soros money, I can tell you that. Found in the last 6 years, David Byrd being our state representative, I've learned everything about all this mess and how it operates. Soros is a Czechoslovakian who believes in socialism, who came to this country and made billions through capitalism. But, well, then why didn't he enjoy capitalism? Because he's one of these one world guys. He's going to be on the top. You've got to understand that the Bible talks about a one world global government. Whether one president calls it the Great Society, another president calls it the New World Order, another president calls it the Great Reset, or we're in a transition, political parties don't matter. It's all corrupt. And so somebody has got to stand up and say, people, I don't understand why this is going on. You ought to understand why it's going on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His authority in your life. There's got to be hierarchy and vertical order. You wonder why teachers aren't respected anyway? Principles aren't respected. Policemen aren't respected. Laws aren't respected. We've moved away from the vertical order of God, and everything else collapses, and it's all even now. Truth is turned backwards in the street. What is good is now evil. What is evil is now good. And the policemen, believe it or not, they're now the bad guys, and the criminals are the victims. It's Isaiah 59. Why? We've gotten away from God's truth. They rejected God's truth. They've removed God's truth. It only takes one generation. Get out of the school in 1963 and this is what we got now. These people believe what they believe as strongly as I believe what I believe. Let me show you one more. Philippians chapter 3. I want to live by Matthew 6:33, and then I want to live by Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians 3, verse 12, I have purpose for my life. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The Lord has reached down and grabbed me at salvation by His grace and my faith commitment unto Him. So I'm reaching up to grab hold of more and more of Him in my life. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What's Matthew 6:33 say? Seek first. Now Philippians 3 tells you this one thing to do. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm not going to rest on my laurels. I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God has a purpose and a plan for my life, and I want to experience it. I want to reach. Children need to be taught that. You let Ginger or Christy walk into their classroom in August and for the first 30 minutes say, God has a plan for your life. Jesus Christ has a plan for your life. And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Let's see how many school board members tuck their tails in all this. We ought to not just give teachers the option to do that, and I don't even know if we're doing it. I don't even think we even mention it. We ought to be encouraging it. Do you know that the NEA in the 60s and 70s sent out pamphlets to every teacher that had memorizations and Bible verses. And they would publish enough so that the children could have them also. Maybe it was 40s and 50s. But I saw some of those things. They were absolutely incredible. Daily Bible reading. The teachers' union at one time promoted biblical study in the classroom. Going all the way back to the origin of the American school, this was the first textbook. The A, B, and C's were taught. A was for Abel, like Cain and Abel. The colors were taught with Noah's rainbow. The Ark of the Covenant. The symbol of the covenant. But look at what he says. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But then look at verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be mature in the Spirit, that word perfect, teleo, be thus minded. Let this be in all of our minds. And if in anything we're otherwise minded, we're counting on God to convict us and reveal to us where we're not thinking correctly. We've got a whole generation that's marching in the street saying, God is wrong and we are right. God is right and I'm wrong. I want you to understand something. I am who God says I am. My life can be what God wants my life to be. But I am under the hierarchy. And I mentioned the verse, but let me show it to you. Psalm 33, and we close. Psalm 33, verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. Isn't that wonderful? The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. That gives me peace. And He's talking about the nation of Israel here, but I'm going to apply it to any nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In the nation of Israel, the people whom He had chosen for His own inheritance. But blessed is any nation whose God is the Lord. I believe the founding fathers, for the most part, believe that. Verse 13, the Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. I want you to understand, God is on high and we are down here. And we are to reverence and respect the truth of God through His revealed word, through the person of Jesus Christ, and through the indwelling of the Spirit of truth. What is truth? It's the reality that God has presented to us. It's His laws of nature. It's His moral absolutes. It's His right and wrong. It's man's conscience and ability to reason and understand as we seek the God of heaven and the God of the Bible. God help America. God bless America. God save America today. I'm going to ask Brother Benford Kimes if he would close us out with a word of prayer.